we consider, you know, how much it must consume. So you would think Bigfoot scat or Sasquatch, I guess would be a good way. Sasquatch. You would find that around a lot. And yet, how many examples really do exist of what you think or what researchers might be investigating as being likely droppings from a Bigfoot?
Well, not a whole lot. I mean, again, the challenge that's faced there is that we are dealing with an omnivore, and so omnivores have scat that varies in consistency and appearance depending on what was on the menu in the preceding days. And since omnivores eat a large variety of food items, then there's the consistency and appearance of their scat is going to change. It bears the prime example of this. And then distinguishing a scat pile from a Sasquatch scat piles from either bear or Sasquatch becomes even another challenge, because how, you know, what's the distinctive appearance or shape or if the consistency and content isn't necessarily going to distinguish those very readily. But the other thing to bear in mind is that the rarity of this species, that the numbers that are out there, which must be very, very low, otherwise, you know, encounters and as you point out, signs of their foraging, of their eating and defecating would be much more obvious, but they're not. We don't know how a Sasquatch defecates. I mean, there's been scat piles that have been attributed to them and have produced some interesting results in the form of unusual parasites or very finely masticated food items. But we don't know. They could bury their scat in a cat-like fashion. They could perform coprophagy, where they consume some of their scat again if they're eating a very high fiber diet at that particular time.
Perhaps that's why they're climbing trees.
Well, that's right.
Maybe they're just, they go up there.
Yeah, who knows?
Look out below.
Well, I mean, you say that, but it's kind of funny. On one of our outings in the Blue Mountains outside of Walla Walla, there was an area where there was a tree, a very large tree, in a spot where sightings had occurred. And as we were scouting around looking for some sign, there was obvious wear on some of the lower branches of this tree, where something had rubbed against these branches quite frequently, it would seem. And so I thought, well, let's take a look up there. And so we cluttered on up there, and this was a very large ponderosa pine, as I recall, and which are good climbing trees. And right up in the top, I mean, I was up probably about 35 feet. The crown had been struck by lightning or something, but the crown was very misshapen, and the tree had kind of widened out up there. And there was a nice little spot. And from that spot, you had a fantastic vantage point of the surrounding valley. And lo and behold, right smack in the middle was the scat pile.
Hello.
Its dimensions, and we did collect it, but its dimensions and its appearance weren't excessive in dimension or quality or quantity, rather, excuse me. But I was quite impressed by that fact that there was some animal that was using that tree and that little perch, almost a nest-like little perch, naturally up there with the gnarly branches and widened out, flattened crown, open crown of this tree, as a resting point or a vantage point,
or a latrine.
Latrine had relieved itself up there.
That's very sort of the Sasquatch equivalent of bringing a newspaper or something.
There you go, yeah.
But in the book, and so maybe I'm, because I didn't finish this chapter, but going back to the idea of finding Sasquatch somewhere, that weren't you testing some in a lab and trying to determine whether or not it could have been? And is there such a thing as a DNA strain that would be excreted with this that would allow you to be able to trace its species of origin?
Excuse me. Well, yes. Now, since my involvement, I have not had opportunity to examine scat that I was confident enough that there was a good chance that this might be associated with Sasquatch activity, to, you know, to ask someone to do an analysis. There have been reported analyses that I have, that I make mention of in the book. The most interesting incident that we had, that I had some involvement with, there was a piece of scat that was turned over from a witness, and it was given to my colleague John Myanzinski, and he had been interacting with a scat dog handler from Colorado. These dogs are trained to locate, you know, particular type of scat, and they're also used in search and these dogs were used in search and rescue efforts. So very, very well trained and very capable and skilled dogs. She took a piece of this scat and hid it out in her backyard, and then set the dog, her dog, to task. This was an exercise she often would do to keep the dog dog skills honed. And sure enough, it went scouting about and came upon that scat. At which point, it just dropped to its belly, its ears down, its tail down. She was so impressed by this because she had never seen her dog react this way before, that she called her partner, and he brought his dog over, and as it discovered the scat, it reacted in exactly the same way. Now, this raises all kinds of interesting curiosities and questions, because what is it in the scat? This scat was very dried and desiccated. It was not of real exceptional dimension, and it one of the interesting characteristics, it was studded with black ant carapaces. Whatever it was had been eating a lot of black ants. Many of its body parts, or their body parts, had passed through undigested, incompletely digested. But it was, at this point, was no longer useful for DNA analysis. DNA, as you point out, can be retrieved from scat, from fresh scat, because some of the cells, the mucosal lining of the intestine, will be sort of sloughed off and pass with the voided scat. But if not preserved rather promptly, the bacterial action, the bacteria, you know, are very plentiful in the scat, will very quickly degrade and digest away that remaining cellular material and the DNA contained in it. So we have not yet had the opportunity to have had scat analyzed for DNA DNA content, but that certainly is high on our list of objectives to try to employ in the field, along with the potential use of scat dogs in that effort to identify and to locate additional examples of scat, which would potentially yield DNA, would potentially tell us what the animals are eating at that particular time, and therefore, you know, combined with GIS analysis, might help us to, with geographic information,
sure,
or coverage maps, might help us to locate what, where they are ranging at that particular time period where certain resources are plentiful and available and desirable at that time.